There we go. Another episode, guys. And another guest. Stop my camera out there. So could you introduce yourself to everyone, please?
Hi, I'm Louise Bettigan, and I'm the founder of the military children's charity, Little Troopers.
And if people have been following my socials recently, they'll know that I've shared stuff about Little Troopers because I was in a podcast that you guys did.
You were in Squad, our podcast.
Yeah, I got this hoodie I'm wearing now.
Oh, you have? You've got your Squad hoodie on. I wore mine this week.
Got to get the branding on. But yeah,
I love it.
I'll share another one. Was it episode 8 that came out recently?
Yeah, so the last episode of series 1 came out this week.
I'll share about that soon so people it stays in their memory. So yeah, could you tell everyone what Little Troopers is, please?
The Little Troopers is a charity that I founded 10 years ago now, so we're 10 years old this year. So I was in the army at the time, and my daughter was about 7 when I founded the charity. My husband was also serving, so her dad. And it was just really difficult. He was in Afghanistan, and there didn't seem to be sort of any specific military support for children. And I know that for me, I felt like I'd chosen to join the military and my husband had chosen to join the military, but my daughter hadn't chosen to be part of a military family, like she was just born into it. But she was really struggling. So I kind of went to some other military charities and they sort of said, well, her dad's healthy or whatever, he's on tour, but, he hasn't been injured, so she's just a military child. And I was like, no, that's not right. Like, she's really struggling and there was nothing out there to help. So I founded the charity 10 years ago and it's changed a little bit over the years. Like with anything, you get, it organically grows. And as my daughter grew up, she's 18 now, she's just gone off to university. As she grew up and went through school and all these other bits and pieces, I was like, we need this for military children, we need that. So the charity's really kind of grown up with her. But yeah, so here we are, 10 years on, and Little Troopers is a charity for all British Armed Forces children, every age. We've got projects and initiatives to really support those unique challenges. So if you've got mum or dad away from home, if you're moving home repeatedly, if you're moving school frequently, helping you to maintain friendships, we've just got loads of support out there.
Yeah, and it's pretty well known now within the community, I guess. It's like properly grown.
Yeah, I think it has. I think, Little Troopers is, I always say, a small charity with a big heart. So we don't have lots of money. We don't have a big office. We don't have a big team. It's me. But, I do as much as I can with the little that we have. And I think the community really loves that. And every penny that the charity has goes directly back into providing resources for military kids. And yeah, I guess it is like quite well known in the community. Maybe I should sit back a bit more and go, oh, my goodness, I did that. But I'm not very good at doing that.
Take time. Just, look how much it's grown in 10 years. That's a wild. How do you stay motivated?
Yeah, so that's like interesting. Like, it obviously goes in peaks and troughs, like with anything. But I guess it was that my daughter always needed that support. So I was quite young when I got married and had Madison. And obviously we were both serving and, seeing your child being quite distressed at times, like definitely when she was sort of 7 or whatever, she was quite distressed about her dad being away. Then there was some sort of tricky school changes that she had. Like, it motivated me to really create support to help military kids. And I guess, I don't want any other military children to suffer like Madison has. And it really motivates me to continue in that I want to support military children and I'm really passionate about it. And I guess that keeps you motivated. And, it's quite creative. And I think that keeps you going, like I'm always like, oh, let's do this idea. Yeah. Like when I wanted to do an app, I wanted to create a story recording app. And then we kind of created that, and like the podcast, probably like for 3 years, I've wanted to do a military team podcast, but things don't happen overnight, do they? And I don't have the skills to do that. So it took me ages to raise the money and find the people to bring that to life. So yeah, I guess creativity and passion keep me motivated.
Yeah, it's, to be fair, I don't know how I stayed motivated for 10 years. I seem to like just, even with school, I can't stay motivated with that. But
it's not easy, and I'm not always motivated. I think, you know, like I'm really honest about it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this is really difficult, or, you know, we haven't got any money coming in, or I feel like things aren't being received how I'd love them to be, or, you know, there's been real tough challenges and learning curves over those 10 years as well.
So, yeah, in the charity, you did the podcast, and we're going to talk a bit about that because I was on it, and then I can put a link to the podcast in the description of the show notes or whatever the app calls it, the people listen on. Why a podcast? What was the thinking behind it?
Okay, so the podcast is one piece of a bigger project. So about 4 years ago, a project called Little Troopers at School came about. And that was because I was like, there's not enough support in schools for military children. Like, educators don't understand what those challenges look like. So that project sort of launched years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, when we started with some resources for schools and stuff. And then I was like, wait, like there's older military children, you know, we need to do something for them. So we were really lucky to get an Armed Forces Covenant grant to help us to support older military children. And that came in various ways. So we've launched a secondary school wellbeing course template so that we send to secondary schools that they can run with their military kids. There's some resources, a Forces Life Club for secondary age military children, and the podcast squad. So I thought it would be really cool to give a bunch of military teams. So we spoke to 15, you were one of them. We spoke to 15 military teams over the podcast series one. And do you know what? It was just a place for you guys to share your story. Like share, I always say military children have like a patchwork of military life, you know, like there's so many things that make you who you are, and who's listening to this, who's giving you guys a voice, right? And I really, really wanted to create a vehicle to do that. So that's how Squad the podcast came about.
Yeah. And it's a good listen. I find it hard to listen to my own voice. So I'm going to be honest, that one I'm taking slowly.
yeah, it's not easy.
But all the other ones are fine.
You know, they're all different themes. So each week there's, you know, exams, there's schools, there's friendships, there's moving, there's all, each week has a different theme. And, you know, I just hope military young people listen to it and are like, ah, oh, do you know what? I felt like that. I've been there. Like, yeah, and they just like don't feel like they're the only one going through this, you know, like. My daughter's in episode 7, and she had a chat about going off to university and how being a military child her whole life from 0 to 18 had made her who she is. And, you know, it's not all good. I know there's challenges with it, but, you know, by the time military young people get to 18, they've got great qualities to, you know, that they've got from being military kids, I think.
It's maybe someone's put on the CV if you're struggling.
Yeah, like, do you know what? That is a really good point, Dominic, because you should absolutely be putting it in your UCAS personal statement and stuff. You know, it shouldn't be something that military teams don't shout about, because it does mean that you collect different qualities. So yeah, you know, it should be in your UCAS personal statements and all that kind of thing. You know, it's really relevant that you're from a military family.
So yeah, I was in cadets. It was only for a few months because I wanted to see as close to military as I could at that age. I don't know how old I was, 11, so I wasn't exactly doing anything major. But what made you go into the military, basically, is what I was leading to?
Do you know what? That is a funny one. So, do you know, I lived at the time in a town called Salisbury, which is quite military. And I wasn't very academic. Like, I didn't really love school. I was okay at school. I got 9 GCSEs. Then I went on to college and sort of dipped a toe in doing travel and tourism. But I just didn't like it. And I just, do you know what? I really wanted to leave home. And I guess just a bit of rebelling. So I just was like, I'm going to join the army. And my mum and dad were pretty horrified, to be honest. And I don't think they thought I'd stick at it. So I think they were like, yeah, yeah, okay, Louise, see you later. And then I just never came back.
So, would you say it's been worth it then?
Yeah, I loved it. Like, so obviously I was a teenager when I joined the army. I did my basic training and then my first posting was out to Germany, which was like ace as, you know, a 17-year-old living in Germany was like really cool. And I had great experiences. I went to Kosovo on tour. I did loads of exercises, met loads of friends, got posted. And, you know, ultimately I met my husband, got married in Germany. You know, it totally makes me who I am today. And yeah. I was quite like a self-conscious teenager, I guess. Like I was a bit awkward and joining the army really gave me some confidence and it made me like not be so awkward. And I had to not stand up for myself, but I just had to be a bit more kind of, you know, had to be in social situations where I was talking to much more grown up people than me and stuff like that. So yeah, it was worth it. Like, I'm really glad I did it because it totally has brought me to where I am today.
Yeah, it's an interesting career path. I'd spend more time getting like watching all the foreign football games, seeing how different it is than actually working. So I don't think I'd last very long.
I wasn't like, I was a bit of, you know, I don't know whether I was a great soldier. I loved it. I was good at my job. So I was a clerk. So I was in the AGC. So I was a clerk. So I was really good at the clerical stuff. But I didn't really like getting dirty and sleeping out in the rough stuff. I wasn't so great at that.
Fair enough. To be fair, that's what would put me off. Like, do you want to go camping? Not really, no.
Exactly. And in the army, it like, I didn't like that the tents didn't even have sides on them. You're just literally in a mud hole. I was like, this is not what I'm about.
Yeah, someone said once that they want to join, so they have to explore the world and camp. Went, have you seen the tents they use? Like, no. Yeah, go to a hotel or something, like win the lottery.
I do remember thinking to myself, I was like, I don't know, in training, it was a Saturday morning, I was getting dragged around the run, and I thought, every other kid that's 17 is not doing this on their Saturday morning, they're in town shopping or doing something, why have I decided to do this? But it was really different, like every day's different in the military, so I loved it.
It's I wouldn't do it, and maybe as a last resort because I feel like I don't want to. It's the moving around would just bother me. that's my main put off.
Do you know what though? I wasn't from a military family, so I guess for me, like my daughter's the same. Madison is like, oh, I'd never marry someone in the military. Like, I don't want to be in the military. Because she's seen firsthand, like the moving and what, you know, what it entails. Yeah. Whereas I went in blind because I wasn't from a military family. So I didn't know any of that.
So it's go with the flow, I guess, and it's helped.
Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. That probably works. So with the charity, where do you want to take it within like the next 10 years? I was going to say 5, but since it's like 10 year anniversary, I'll say the next 10.
Do you know what? That's a really interesting question because, you know, I love it. And I hope it's there for years and years to come for other military children, because if it didn't exist, then there'd be nothing, you know, specific for military children. And I know so many kids get so much from it. It gives them a real sense of identity, you know, a real sense of belonging. So firstly, I just hope it's still there in some way. Like, funding is really difficult, and Little Troopers doesn't get a lot of funding or grants or anything. So I'm always like, are we going to be here next year? Have we got enough money to make it another year? So, you know, just kind of to be still here in some way would be great, and isn't guaranteed because of the nature, I guess, of our little charity. But there is still loads of stuff that I want to do. Like, I really want to be expanding into some slightly more specific therapeutic, like support for military children who need a little bit more intervention. You know, I think by the time military kids get to teenagers, there's some historic trauma there just from moving. You know, I know now when I look at my daughter, you know, she's had to change schools, you know, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. Her dad's been on tour 7 times or whatever. She's lived in loads of houses. And as much as I think it's made her who she is, I think it's really important that military kids at that age are given a space to just kind of talk about it. So I'd like to expand a little bit for older kids in terms of some therapeutic, like, you know, just some therapy sessions that are specifically created for that. Obviously, would love to expand the schools project. I think it's really important that military children in education are better understood. And also I want to do fun stuff. So definitely want to like do more of Squad, want a series 2. I did some filming this week and we just were making some films for the schools project. And I was like, I want to do a Little Troopers chat show. I want all the people on a sofa on it. So, you know, I go crazy with my ideas. I'm like, why not? So we'll see. Listen, I just hope the charity still is there. I hope support for military children is still available. And I hope I'm still helping people share their journeys. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and if people want to help with you guys staying around, I'll link the website for them to explore and buy stuff, all that sort of jazz, I guess.
Yeah, and we've got loads of fundraising initiatives that we've kind of created the plans for. And like I am always saying to people, you know, like, 50 quid, for instance, to Little Troopers is massive. And I know, like, people look at these big military charities with loads of money, and we just aren't one of them. So it always means a lot when someone says, oh, I've had a cake sale and I've raised 50 quid, or, you know, we've been washing cars or whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean? We have schools fundraising or whatever. It's all like really, really valuable to us. So yeah, if anybody's, you know, planning a 10K race or something like that, keep Little Troopers in mind.
I recommend cake days, because not only do you get to raise money for charity, you get cake.
So, they're my favourite. They are my favourite days too.
Yeah. So what would you say your high point has been in the past 10 years? That might be hard.
There's been quite a lot. I did meet the Queen, which was really, yeah. It was like, I'll never forget that day. And I told her about Little Troopers, and I got really like, you know, when you meet someone that you just love, and I was just like, I couldn't get my words out. But yeah, so that was a real high point, just to meet the Queen and tell her about Little Troopers. So that was a couple of years ago now. So that was a real high point. And just kind of looking back and saying, oh my goodness, like, we've done it. Like, the schools project's been a massive high point for me, because, you know, it was a tiny seed in my head where I said, kids need better support in schools. Yeah. My daughter's not getting supported properly in school. Like, I want to do something about that. you know, fast forward, you know, 3 or 4 years, and we're impacting change with our project. And, you know, that's a massive high point for me. So listen, with me, it often take, I'm quite slow and get, because it's just me, and I can't do things overnight. You know, it takes time to think of the idea, raise the money, bring it to fruition. It's quite a process for me to bring anything out. But when I do get there, I'm like, oh, I'm super proud. Like, you know, we're doing a good thing here.
It's really, I like the website, if I'm honest, is what I was going to say.
Cool.
When you go on to like stuff that is Little Troopers branding, do you just think of like, I'm part of that, I've done that? Like,
do you know what? No, and I probably should. Like this week we were away and there was like Little Troopers cushions and Little Troopers bean bags, and there was like all these things to make it look really cool. And I was like, oh, wow, that's like our stuff. I'll tell you a story. So guy who illustrates our little people and created our logo, he does all our branding. And I've worked with him for 10 years. I've never met him. How random's that? Oh. So literally like 10 years ago when I was starting the charity, I was like, oh, I need a logo designed. Like, does anyone have any recommendations? And this guy on Twitter replied, and I've worked with him ever since, but I've never met him. But he is like, he creates everything you see, Little Troopers. So he illustrates our books. He does all our illustrations, does all the pictures you see on the website. He does all of our activity sheets. He does everything. So yeah, I think it's cool that I've never actually met him. We do everything over WhatsApp or email.
The joys of technology, I guess.
Isn't it? I know. Yeah.
I suppose that is a high point. You probably wouldn't have met him if it wasn't for that. So like, not everything's doom and gloom, I guess.
No, like social media is really important, and you know, like so many good things have come from LinkedIn. LinkedIn's like a great platform for people to find out about the charity, and then obviously all the usual link, you know, for people to find out about the charity. You know, I think we've had great success on Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of it. So yeah, I think there's a real place for social media, and it definitely has brought lots of the military community to us, for sure.
Yeah, it's I like it. It means I get to scroll as well, and if I'm feeling bored, just like looking into the post, it makes life interesting.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
It's fun. So, while making the podcast, like, is there something that you were doing during the time that you didn't expect to be part of a podcast that you just like? I never thought this was part of creating it. Like, most people don't think of the editing, which is weird because it's kind of really important.
I had nothing. So in terms of how we worked with Squad, was we worked with a production company.
EI Media,
Yeah, exactly. So what had happened was 2 years ago, so pre-pandemic, I was asked to be part of something called Family Time, which is on our website, which was, so Family Time was part of a BFBS radio show called Team Talk. And I was asked to front Family Time, which was where I went and spoke to loads of different military families about their military journey and their children and, you know, who made them them. And it was great to get out in the military community. We were on the road and we were meeting all these cool families, and we worked with that production company then, and they were amazing and really got the military community and created these cool kind of little sound bites of military life, which are still on our website now that people can listen to. So then when it came to creating our own podcast, I absolutely knew I wanted to work with them. So I guess my sort of piece in all of that was just the idea. Like, I knew what I wanted the end product to be. So I wanted to have lots of military kids involved. I wanted it to be really funky and easy to listen to, not really long, not really short. So then we worked with the production company, and then like, obviously they're amazing, but you go, it's such a process. So, you know, creating your music, you kind of decide what styles you like, and then it goes to sort of a composer who creates a few ideas for you that you kind of say, oh yeah, I like that one. Then we had our logo. So Dan created our logo because that's what people see on Spotify or Apple podcasts and everywhere else. So we had our logo, and then it's about finding your contributors. So finding who wanted to be involved in the podcast. And then it was the fun bit that was, you know, meeting everybody. We did half virtual and half in a studio in London. And then, yeah, the editing was kind of up to those guys, and then they would send it back to us and we'd hear the edit, make any amends, and then they published them on a weekly basis. So, I learned so much about it, but loved it.
I think you got really lucky in that Spotify added a new feature to show videos recently, but it's not out for everyone yet.
I didn't know that.
I only know because who I do my podcast, who hosts it. I was going to find the email, but I think I've deleted it, so I won't look for it. Anchor, they're owned by Spotify, so I get the emails sent to me in the newsletter type style. But yeah, they're trialing videos, and I think that...
Oh, that's cool.
It's basically just YouTube, but... on Spotify.
Yeah, on Spotify.
I'm not published a video on it yet, so I don't know how it works, but
yeah, it's cool. And I, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Like, I love podcasts, so if I'm in the car or if I'm sort of pottering around at home or whatever, I really do like to listen to a podcast. So it was important to me that our podcast was a good one and that I felt that people would listen to it. So yeah, I loved the process of making it, definitely.
It's very good. So yeah, again, linking all the, I say this a lot in episodes, but just to remind people, the link will be in the, what is it, description, show notes. Every site has a different name for it, so I don't have a clue. But yeah, description.
But yeah, I mean, anywhere you listen to your podcast, if you just search Squad by Little Troopers, it'll come up. So it's super easy to find. And there's 8 episodes in series one. And yours was a great one. I loved listening to yours. It was super cool. Like, totally gave, you know, a day in the life of a military teen. You know, that was the idea behind that episode. And I know audio is kind of your thing, so I hope you enjoyed being part of it and having your own episode.
I kept wanting to do more, so I kept sending messages back to just like, are you sure you don't want me to do any more, because I think that could be better. And like, no, it's fine. I think that I'm a, I don't know, perfectionist in a sense in that area.
Yeah, of course. Have your family listened to the episode? Yeah. Do they love it?
They've commented on and shared it, and yeah, they've told me. Yeah, I've got all these messages, and it's mainly me just asking. You can kind of see a scroll, but it's just me asking, do they want any more?
It was great.
What's your favourite episode? Obviously not mine, just say.
Of course, yours was the best. I love them all. I guess the one with my daughter in, I wasn't around when she recorded it, so it actually made me a bit emotional listening to it, because I even think, even though I'm her mum, like, I found out things in the podcast that I didn't know. And then episode 8, where we kind of dissected some of the bits and pieces from the episodes, I just think was really cool as well. Just, you know, Tom, who is a professional rugby player, but a military kid as well, you know, he shared loads about his experiences and how he's experienced OCD through, you know, his dad being away, you sharing your autism journey. You know, I think they're really important subjects, and I was just super proud that we shared them.
Yeah, it's, I was gonna ask and I forgot to, and you've reminded me, how did you get the, celebrities is the word I'll use then, on, how did you contact these, the hosts?
Yeah, so they're our presenters, and they are amazing. And Tom Smith came to us and was like, hey, you know, this is who I am, and I'd love to get involved with the charity, which is always really special. And obviously he brings so much to the podcast because he's lived and breathed it. He's living and breathing it, you know, like he totally gets it. And he brought so much lived experience to the podcast. And then you've got Katie Thistleton, who's an amazing broadcaster and presenter. And she was someone that we really wanted on the podcast. So the production company obviously approached her and she was like, yeah, I'd love to be involved. So we were really lucky how that came together, and obviously they really make it like fab because they're the continuity throughout the series.
That is, they're really good in the shared it a lot, I suppose, which helps you as well.
Absolutely. They've obviously, you know, Katie Thistleton's nothing to do with the military community, and she was like, wow, I've learned so much about this community of people that I didn't know anything about before. So it's really great for raising awareness of the military community as a whole, you know?
Yeah, it's, again, like I said, I enjoyed it because I've listened. Here's a question that it's at the bottom of my page here. And I completely forgot to ask you it.
Go for it.
It was, what do you think that is the biggest challenges for a military child growing up? I'll take from 0 to 18.
Yeah, so for me, I think there's quite a few. Like, obviously, I think it can be an accumulation of a few things. Yeah. I think it's lots of change is really difficult for anybody, for adults or children. Lots of change. So changing homes, changing schools, change of circumstances, change of your family unit because mom or dad goes away or whatever it may be. Like, change is hard, right? Like, I find change hard as an adult. So for children, it's really, really difficult. So I do think change is one of the hardest things, and it's sometimes like sudden, unpredictable change, you know. So I think that's probably one of the hardest challenges that then encompasses all of the things. So that, you know, change is related to deployment, it's related to moving home, it's related to moving school, it's related to kind of changing friendships. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest challenge that you guys are up against.
Shit, and then last minute is the worst.
Yeah. And I know you spoke about that in your podcast episode, that that's one of the things that you struggle with the most, because we're not prepared for it. And if it's sudden, then, you know, sudden change can be really unsettling, can't it?
Yeah, it's weird. I remember once, I don't know, 5 years ago, about five, six years ago, I was supposed to move to Cyprus, but that got cancelled like pretty much last minute and went to Lincolnshire instead. Nothing against Lincolnshire, but when you're expecting Cyprus, it's not
quite the same.
Not the same. But yeah, that's looking back, I laugh. But I was pretty annoyed. I think everyone was though.
Yeah, I have done Cyprus. I remember Christmas was like hot. It was like nice over Christmas. I think I'd prefer Cyprus over Lincolnshire any day.
No contest. Especially when you got also like, yes, I'm going to Cyprus, I'm going to like sun and all that.
You were all revved up, and then it was like, no Cyprus.
Really? Yeah, just going down south. You're not even getting in a plane, you're driving there.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, you think you're going somewhere, but you're going somewhere else. Or, you know, if your parents are away, you think they're coming back, but then it's delayed. Or you think they're going and then it's delayed or brought forward or whatever it may be. Like, for anybody, change is difficult.
Yeah, I think it was the point where I'll believe it when I see it type thing.
Like, yeah, and I think that's a coping mechanism, isn't it? That, you know, okay, whatever, like, I'm just not going to get my hopes up until it's actually happening.
Yeah, like, I'll pretend you didn't say that until it happens, because keep saying it, I, like, expect it to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to put anyone off joining the military, obviously, because it can be rewarding.
There's loads of pros. There's loads of pros to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it isn't for everybody. And we definitely, you know, I got out because it was really difficult. both of us being in the military and having a child was really difficult, and we lived abroad and all the rest of it. It isn't for everybody, for a lot, but definitely for me, it was the making of me. You know, my husband's done 22 years in the military now, so it's clearly for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think for loads of people, it's a great career.
That's a long time, is 22 years in one job. Like, I'm all for loyalty, but I'd get bored. I'd want a change. Not like a
well, the thing is, like, every job is different, isn't it? So although it's 22 years, you're not doing the same job for 22 years because you're in different locations, you're with different people, your actual day-to-day job is slightly different. Although, like, I guess it's, you know, he's in the Royal Armoured Corps, so it's kind of around big vehicles of some description, you know, so, but yeah, you're right. 22 years is a really long time. And we've been married 18 years, so that's a really long time.
But do you still take an interest then in the military side, or do you, like...
You know what? That's really interesting, because when I got out, I was like, I hate the military. I'm done. I don't want to see green on the washing line. Like, I'm out of here. And so we bought our own house and kind of lived out of the community for a bit. And then that was really difficult. And we, like, he was away during the week and coming home at weekends, which has its own challenges. So then we moved back into military housing. I think, you know, my whole adult life has been connected to the military. You know, I joined up when I was 17 and I'm 39 now. So I don't know much different. So yeah, I do, like, still, you know, me and my husband still have a bit of military chat, definitely, because I'm still always wanting to have a little toe in, because it's all I know, really.
Yeah, fair enough. That makes sense, the one. So time has flown, like, completely. It's been really good so far. Anything you'd like to say before you go, and where can people find you?
So people can find us at littletroopers.net. So really easy on the website. Obviously, people should go and listen to the podcast because they can hear you for a start. and they can just find that squad by Little Troopers anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And yeah, it's just really important that any military family comes to Little Troopers, because there's so much support, whether you've got really little ones, whether you have got older military children, if you've got someone away this Christmas, we've got stuff going on, you know, so, you know, come and find us. And I really hope that we can support, you know, there's over 100,000 military children out there. So, you know, I want to be able to support as many of those as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. All the links will be in the bottom, and I don't know, in about section. I can't remember what I'm going to put in. I had it written down somewhere, but it'll definitely have the links. So don't worry about that.
Perfect.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. I hope it has been interesting. I hope it's raised a bit of awareness of Little Troopers. And also just interesting for other military young people to listen. You're doing a really cool thing. And I hope people really listen to your podcast with interest. And, you know, I hope you talk about being a military kid on your podcast, because it's really cool, the fact that you are a military kid and, you know, you'll go off to be a cool adult because of the things you've learned being a military kid. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.